Yes, I think. I thought there could be no such thing against those we face.
Illidan laughed. I like you, Akama, but do not try my patience. I am not here to play games with words. I am here to win a war.
We all are, Lord. Let us hope that we are all fighting the same one.
Akama watched from the battlements as the first of the new army emerged from the gates of Hellfire Citadel. A week had passed since Illidan had begun the creation of the new batch of Fell Orcs. Tens of thousands of transformed fighters strode in time, cursing and howling and grunting. They brandished their weapons in rough salute as they saw Illidan watching. He acknowledged it with a lazy wave. He seemed satisfied. His military power grew. He no longer needed to rely on the backing of Kael'thas and Vash. He had armies now to match his sorcerous strength. He truly was the Lord of Outland. They will establish control of all the lands of Hellfire Peninsula, Illidan said. Then we shall close the Legion's gates and slow the demon's advance by another increment.
I sincerely hope so, Lord, Akama said.
Now, more than ever, he was convinced that he had made a deal with the demon. It was an insane plan to transform the orcs. Illidan was simply turning himself into a new Magtheridan. Indeed, he might prove to be something worse.
When that happens, will you return the Temple of Karabor to my people, Lord?
Of course, Akama. Never doubt it. Akama did, however. He touched the rune-carved stone he kept in his pouch, feeling the magic in it and thinking about the night elf warden who bore its twin. Make ready to depart, Illidan said. Tomorrow we return to the Black Temple. Illidan strode into the Chamber of Command, his council's meeting room at the Black Temple. Akama hobbled along behind him. Several broken scuttled around, putting the last of the fittings into place. Great tapestries, woven with Illidan's symbol, hung from the wall. An enormous table showing a carved three-dimensional map of Outland dominated the space. A group of blood elves huddled around it. They turned and made obeisance as soon as they saw Illidan. Clearly, his sudden appearance had taken them by surprise. The beautiful Lady Melanda raised her hand in a languid salute.
Lord Illidan. Prince Kael'thas regrets he could not be present. He has taken a force to close the Legion's gate in the Netherstorm, and
before she could complete her explanation, High Nethermancer Zerevor butted in. The magical defenses of the temple have been rewoven, Lord Illidan. They were in a disgraceful state, but Gathios, the Shatterer, broad for a blood elf and encased in the heavy armor of a paladin, interrupted.
There is no sign of Legion activity in Shadowmoon Valley, Lord Illidan. The gates remain as closed as the day we sealed them, and there have been no indications of demonic manifestation.
Veras Darkshadow leaned back against the table and folded his scarred arms across his chest. Alone among his comrades, he apparently did not feel the urge to fight for Illidan's attention. Illidan shook his head. These blood elves seemed to have nothing better to do than plot against one another for his favor. It was no wonder that Kael'thas had left them behind. Still, they were efficient organizers and brilliant in their respective fields. They represented the absolute best of the Sindori forces in Outland. They had taken to calling themselves the Illidari Council, a measure perhaps of their self-importance. Illidan raised his hand and stared at them until they fell silent.
We are at war with the Burning Legion, he said to Gathios. Need I remind you that the Demon Lord Kil'jaeden is displeased with me? He will make his displeasure felt soon enough.
Silence settled on the chamber like a shroud. The only sound was Akama's wheezing breath. The Sindori looked afraid. That was good, Illidan thought. Fear might keep them all alive. He tilted his head so that Zerevor was aware that he had his full attention.
Are you certain that the wards are ready? They may soon be put to the test.
Zerevor took a deep breath and considered his words carefully.
They are, Lord Illidan. I would bet my life on it.
That is good, Illidan said, because you are doing that. You are betting all our lives on it.
Illidan turned to Melander. Send a message to Prince Gaelthas, apprising him of the situation. I do not want him taking any unnecessary risks. After me, he is the one Kil'jaeden is most likely to strike at.
It shall be done, Lord Illidan. I shall see to it at once.
Veras, you have done as I asked?
Of course, Lord Illidan. Our best trackers have scoured the routes to Hellfire Citadel and questioned the Fel'Orc clan leaders. A number of night elves were sighted on the heights above the road on the day of your triumphal procession. They killed a group of Fel'Orcs and made their escape. One of them wore burnished armor of the sort Warden Shadow Song wears.
Illidan bared his fangs and his underlings flinched. He had been right. He had seen Maiev that day. He should have scoured the hills immediately, but it had taken all his power to restrain Magtheridan, and he had not been absolutely certain it was her. The need to impress the clans with his strength had outweighed his suspicions. It would not have looked strong to disrupt the triumphal march of his entire army to search for a few night elves. Still, it was galling to think that she had been so close.
You will find my shadow song for me, Veras. You will assign agents to follow up on every rumor of her presence. I am keen to repay her for the hospitality she extended to me.
At once, Lord Illidan. Veras padded silently from the chamber.
And you, Gathios, I want you to ensure that our sentries are alert and that a force is ready to respond to any threat.
It is already done, Lord Illidan.
Gathios paused for a moment.
I have taken the liberty of surveying the Black Temple's defenses for weak points. The sewer outflows represent one particularly easy point of attack. In your absence, I consulted with Lady Vash. She suggested that one of her champions, High Warlord Nagentus, should guard the sewers, along with a picked force of her people.
It is an unpleasant duty, but a necessary one, Illidan said.
Then you approve, Lord Illidan?
Of course. You have all done well. Let us hope you have done enough.
Akama, Gathios, Melander, and Zerevor filtered from the chamber to be about their duties, leaving Illidan to contemplate the map of Outland. Soon armies would be moving about it, and war would ravage the land. He had better prepare. He had much to do, and little time to do it in. This was the moment to move to the next phase of his plan. He must recruit others like him, those willing to hunt the Legion by becoming what they hated most.
Chapter 6. 5 months before the fall. Vandel stalked through the dark landscape of Shadow Moon Valley. Behind him, the huge volcano, known as the Hand of Gul'dan, grumbled. The blazing contrails of enormous green meteors scratched the face of the sky as they crashed downward. The earth trembled like a frightened beast on their impact. In the distance, the gigantic walls of the Black Temple loomed. Vandel touched the hilts of his scabbarded daggers, then rubbed his weary eyes to remove the ash and grit. He had come a long way to find Illidan's new home. He had come a long way in search of vengeance. The image of his dead son flickered through his mind. There had been very little left of Caril's body once the Fellhound was finished with it. He touched the silver leaf he had given the child for his third and last birthday to make sure it still hung from his neck. Even after 5 years, the memory burned white hot. He ground his teeth and let the wave of hatred sweep through him. It would have been better for him if he had died that day, along with his family and the rest of his village. He should have been with them, but instead he was in the woods hunting when the alarm horns sounded. He had raced back through the forest, leaping over the fallen trees, the smell of burning bright in his nostrils. He pushed the memory down. It was far too easy to give in to it. He had done so many times in the past, and been driven to the edge of madness and beyond. In his lucid moments, he admitted that. No sane elf would have spent long years tracking the betrayer, ferreting out the secrets of those who had followed him. No sane elf would have passed through that magical portal and come to this hellish land. The wall loomed before him. He crept forward, taking advantage of every patch of shadow.
There were many sentries and many warding spells. The Black Temple was a fortress girded for war, and he did not want to be cut down by its guardians before he had finished his business with its master. Gigantic stones had been piled high to form the outer wall. Here and there, clumps of moss clung to them. In places, wind and rain and meteor strikes had eroded the ancient blocks, leaving cracks that could be exploited by someone who had learned to climb amid the great trees of Ashenvale. He sprang as high as he could reach, digging his fingers into the first gap he spotted and pulling himself up. He hung there for a moment, feeling as if his arm would be pulled out of its socket. Below, a patrol of fellorks marched closer. He would have offered up a prayer to Elun if he had any faith that the goddess's benevolence could reach this foul place. Instead, he made his mind a blank and continued scrambling up the wall, hoping that he would not be overheard by any sentry waiting above. That did not seem likely. Shadow Moon Valley was a riot of noise. He doubted that any guard could hear him over the thunder of the volcano and the roar of the wind. Nonetheless, he allowed himself a moment of stillness and strained his keen ears for any clue that he might have been observed. Beneath him, the patrol went about its rounds. Vendel looked down into the pools of shadow, and just for a moment he felt the urge to let go. The long drop would break his neck and end his agony. He could join his family in death and end the torment. He resisted the urge. He could not rest while his son was unavenged. His hatred was stronger than his desire for endless peace. He pulled himself over the edge of the battlements, rolled down onto the balcony behind, and lay in the shadows, catching his breath. So far, no sentinels. He felt a brief moment of triumph. He had succeeded where an army would have failed. He had broken into the unholy precincts of the Black Temple. A bat-winged shadow passed across the moon. It seemed that all his wishes were to be granted tonight. Illidan, the betrayer himself, soared aloft on the night wind. It seemed that he too was restless this evening. No doubt there were many things that kept him awake. Perhaps his dark deeds caused nightmares that kept him from his bed. How long had it been since Vandel had slept without nightmares? He could not recall. All he could remember were the terrible dreams. He touched Kariel's amulet once more. Not long, my son. Not long. Illidan settled upon a balcony atop the highest tower of the Black Temple. He paced for 9 steps, turned and then shook his head. He leaned against the banister, surveying everything as far as the horizon. Vandel wondered whether the betrayer could see him. His sightless eyes were known to perceive things that others could not. What would Illidan do if he knew that Vandel was there? It would not be difficult to reach the tower upon which Illidan stood. The few sentinels scattered along the battlements did not seem completely awake. They were secure in the strength of the walls protecting them. Doubtless, they did not expect someone like him. They were there to watch for armies and demons, not a solitary night elf maddened by grief and overmastered by the thirst for revenge. He stalked forward, telling himself not to be overconfident. Perhaps there were other sentries and he had just not seen them. The long years of hunting the foes of his people had taught him stealth beyond that of most mortals, but he was far from the only one who could hide in shadows. Perhaps even now some deadly sentry watched him unseen and prepared to drive a dagger into his back. Once more he paused to consider the fact that he might no longer be sane. His mind had shattered once at the moment he had found his son's corpse being gnawed upon by the fellhound. For a moment he could almost smell the scent of burning wood and night elf blood. He could almost hear the crunching of small bones. He let out a whimper, then cursed silently. Anyone within earshot might have heard. He did not intend to be struck down by a guard because of his own foolishness. No more mistakes. From here on, he would concentrate on the mission ahead. He reached the foot of the tower upon which Illidan stood. Ahead, a ramp curled out of sight around the side of the tower. He prayed that luck was still with him and ran, preferring to trust in speed and stealth and his unexpected good fortune. He reached the top. The one he had come long leagues to find stood before him. Illidan's back was turned. His massive wings clung close to his body as if trying to warm him against the chill of the night. He held his great horned head low as he surveyed the distant lights of the great volcano. What was he looking for? What did he see with his eyeless sight? Illidan turned as if he had known Vandel was there the whole time. Vandel drew his daggers, checked the mystic runes etched into them, and padded forward. He knelt and placed his blades at Illidan's hooves. "Forgive the intrusion, Lord Illidan. I did not wish to risk being cut down by your sentries before I had spoken to you." Illidan said, "What do you wish of me, Night Stalker?" "I want to slay those who slew my family. I want to slaughter your enemies." "There is no shortage of those." Vandel said, "I wish to learn what you have learned. I want to hunt demons." "Then you have much to learn, and the hour is late.
Will you teach me?"
"You, and 1,000 like you. Go below, rest. You will find what you seek, or die in the attempt." Illidan turned his back once more, and returned to gazing at the horizon. It was clear to Vandel that he was dismissed. Uncertain as to what he was supposed to do, Vandel strode down to the base of the tower. 2 tattooed figures waited for him. It seemed as if they had been there all along. They were not surprised to see him, nor did they draw any weapons. One was a tall female with a scarred face. She appeared to be a night elf, yet she had demonic features. Green flames flickered in her empty eye sockets. Small horns curled from her head. Her scanty clothing revealed glittering tattoos that covered her body. Some magic about them drew Vandel's eye and compelled him to try to unravel the pattern as if it were a complex puzzle. She noticed his look and her lips twisted to reveal small fangs. Vandel met her cold smile with one of his own, feeling as if somehow he was being tested, as if they were crossing blades in a soundless struggle. The second figure, also night elven in form, paid no attention to him at all, and Vandel would have been surprised if he did. His eyelids were sewn shut, as were his lips. He was hunched forward, with his head held low and his shoulders high. He was stripped to the waist, revealing even more tattoos than his companion had. A broad leather belt, wrapped around his waist, held a selection of long, sharp needles, from the ends of which dangled strings of animal hide. Their tips were blotched, and a look at the male's body revealed the fact that he had recently pierced his skin. The crust on the needles' points was dried blood, most likely his own.
"You have spoken with Lord Illidan," the female said.
There was a jealous note in her husky voice. It sounded as if something was wrong with her larynx, as if she had once screamed so loud and so long that she had done it permanent damage.
"Yes,"
Vandel said. He did not care for her knowing smile. He was not going to let himself be intimidated.
"You are privileged, indeed."
"Am I?"
"He does not greet every supplicant personally. It seems he has some memory of you. Perhaps he has something special in mind."
The male raised a finger to his lips as if she had said too much. A long talon extruded from its tip. The gesture was not threatening, but it was not reassuring either. The blind male scratched his chin, drawing a bead of blood onto the claw. He put it into his mouth through a tiny aperture left by the thread.
"I would not presume to read Lord Illidan's mind," Vandel said. "You show more wisdom than I expected."
"Do you have a name?"
"I am Elerisiel. He is Needle. If he had another name, it is long since forgotten, even by him."
Vandel bowed to them both. Elerisiel laughed, malice glittering in her voice. Needle bobbed his head without mockery. Vandel stared hard at him. Obviously the male had no more difficulty seeing than Lord Illidan.
What was going on here? "Lord Illidan told us to take you below."
Tension tightened Vandel's shoulder blades. "And how did he tell you that?"
"You will find out eventually, if you live."
Needle produced one of his long, sharp pins and pierced it into the flesh of his own forearm. He dug around for a minute. Another droplet of blood appeared. He poked the point through the small gap between his lips and made a sucking sound. A blissful look appeared on his face. Vendel had come here, doubting his own sanity. Now he doubted that of everyone around him. The pair led him through a maze of corridors. They passed through a small sallyport in the wall of the Black Temple and out into a vast heap of tumble-down ruins.
"This was once part of the Temple of Kerabor," Elarisiel said. "The orcs and the demons did not leave a great deal of the original structure standing. What they did, Lord Illidan and his champions took. We dwell here now, under the watchful gaze of Varedis and his companions."
"Varedis?" Vendel asked.
"The Master Tutor,"
Elarisiel said, but she did not seem inclined to amplify on her remark. More green meteors scarred the face of the sky as Vendel and his guides passed through a series of terraces. Silken pavilions rose along their length. From them came the sounds of mad laughter. They passed through the camp and came eventually to a tunnel mouth in a ruined wall. Chill air surrounded them as they walked down worn, ancient steps and emerged into a huge hall. It looked like an asylum or a battlefield hospital. Elves sprawled everywhere. Some lay in pools of greenish light cast by flickering fell lanterns. It made them look sick. Some of the males were bearded and green-haired after the fashion of night elves. Some were clean-shaven, like the Sindori. Some muttered to one another. Some huddled in the shadows between the lanterns as if trying to conceal themselves. Most slept fitfully, talking in their sleep. A mad scream sounded, and a female rose up and raced through the chamber, shouting, "Worms! Worms! Worms!" The shout roused many from sleep, but they did not seem disturbed by it. Only one tall blood elf rose from the soiled cloak in which he lay wrapped, and he chased the maniac through the chamber. They disappeared out of sight.
"As you can see, you are not the only one who has found their way here. Many have sought out Lord Illidan. Only a few will live to enter his service."
"What do you mean?"
Elarisiel's silvery laugh rang out.
"You will find out soon enough, Kaldorai. Pick out any place and get some rest. You will need your strength for the trials ahead."
She spun on her heel and departed. Needle raised a finger to his forehead and turned his hand through a half-circle, then stepped back into a shadow and seemed to simply vanish.
"Do not pay too much attention to Elarisiel," said a friendly voice from nearby. "She just likes to scare the new recruits. I suspect someone did the same to her when she first came here, and she likes to spread the misery."
Vendel inspected the speaker. He had the ageless look of a mature night elf, which meant he could be any age from 20 years to 15,000. As far as Vendel could see, he had no scars or tattoos. When he considered the matter and then looked around, he saw that none of the others in the hall did either. The speaker continued.
"You are a thoughtful one, and I know what you are thinking."
The unspoken question hung in the air.
"Vendel is my name.
Elune shines on the moment of our meeting, Vendel. I am Ravael."
"I am pleased to make your acquaintance. You were about to tell me what I was thinking. I am curious to know, since I am unsure myself."
"You are thinking what every newcomer who has ever been led into this hall thinks, that the guides are strange. You are also wondering why none of us have tattoos and all of us have eyes."
"There are more like that pair, then?"
"Oh, yes, my friend, lots more.
Lord Illidan is building an army of the blind."
"Only they are not blind, are they?"
"No."
"And they have tattoos like his, only less intricate?"
"Yes."
"And they are changed in ways he has changed?"
"You are observant."
"I would have to be blind not to notice these things," Vendel said, before realizing the ridiculousness of that statement.
"You think the blind here see less well than you?"
Ravael asked, and just for a moment a note of hysteria sounded in his voice. Vendel was almost glad. Until that moment, Raphael had seemed so normal as to be out of place in this madhouse. I think they probably see more. They had no trouble guiding me here or avoiding anyone in their way. It is possible to memorize routes, but I cannot imagine everyone in this hall occupies the same place the whole time.
You have thought things through, it seems.
What are you doing here?
I came to take vengeance, to learn to fight demons.
The same reason you are here, I am guessing.
Vendel considered that for a moment. Perhaps Elarisiel was right. Perhaps I am not so special.
I am sure you are. After all, you got here without dying. How common do you think that is?
Vendel took a deep breath and looked around again. He had assumed that everyone here was mad or an invalid, but he could see now that many of them bore scars, and all of them had weapons close at hand. There were warriors here, and magi, and hunters.
You lost someone? Vendel asked.
I lost everything, said Raphael. He made no move to expand on that. Thinking of his own loss, Vendel saw no reason to prod him.
I know what that feels like, he said.
Raphael looked around. Somehow, though, in this place, I feel we have even more to lose.
Chapter 7. 5 months before the fall.
Maiev felt almost relaxed. Cleft hoof meat filled her belly. The long sunny day had provided rare sport as she and her followers hunted the beasts. Enough hide lay nearby to make armor for a score of Draenei soldiers. A few of them picked through it, sawing away with knives, flensing the skin. It reminded her of her long-gone youth when she had hunted in the woods with her mother. They had made their own clothes then, cut from leather, sewn with needles of bone, using thread of sinew. The memory brought a brief smile to her face, and then the return of horror. Her mother was dead, killed by the Burning Legion. That thought sent her mind circling back once more to Illidan. The betrayer was still at large, and his power was growing. The strength of his legions mocked her own efforts. She tried to blank her mind, reclaim her earlier good mood. It had been a long time since she had experienced a moment of unalloyed happiness. She liked this Nagrand. The air was clean, and the sky was blue, and the wind was fresh. It was not like the forests of her homeland, but as long as you did not look too closely, it felt natural. Of course, you could still see the effects of the world-splitting magic that had been inflicted on Draenor. Huge islands floated in the sky, hovering on the wind. It seemed as if at any moment they might crash to the earth, but they did not. According to the locals, they had been stable for years, and even here there were rumors of Illidan's war with his demonic masters. It seemed that the Burning Legion had established bases in the far west of Nagrand, and the demons were preparing some new attack. An Indra lay on her stomach near the fire, playing an improvised game of Nexus with Sarius, using a hexagonal board slashed into the earth, and stones of different colors. The lieutenant saw Maiev looking at her and raised her hand in salute. Her hair was bleached almost lime green by the outland sun, and her skin was desiccated. Her tunic was patched in a dozen places. Like the rest of the surviving watchers, she had refused to part with it. It was a connection with their home, and there were few enough of those left. Sarius remained focused on the game. He was competitive in everything. He had acquired a dozen new scars. Some of them were pale and old, but two were from more recent skirmishes. They had been deep wounds. Druids healed quickly and easily from most injuries. Maybe he had left them as they were, as reminders or tributes to his vanity. Males could be like that sometimes. They liked to have scars to flaunt and tell tales about. The two had proved to be loyal and good soldiers in the years they had roamed through Outland, seeking the key to Illidan's destruction. They had kept Maiev's troops alive under very trying circumstances. She cursed when she thought of all the months they had wasted, scouting the grounds around Hellfire Citadel, making war with the Naga in Zangarmarsh, watching the walls of the Black Temple. It felt as if they had achieved nothing. Illidan's power had increased 1,000-fold during that period.
She glanced around her camp. Her force had grown, but she could not yet call it an army. It numbered in the hundreds and consisted mainly of disaffected Draenei youths recruited on her travels. There were always those who saw the need to oppose evil and the threat Illidan represented. Not enough, though. What had she really achieved here? Nothing. Over the years, Illidan had grown ever stronger. For every Draenei who joined her, 100 orcs marched into his citadel and emerged transformed into even more brutal, powerful fighters. There were fools out there who believed that he opposed the Legion, and they joined him willingly. They did not know him as well as she did. She knew that he was summoning more and more demons from the twisting nether and binding them to his will. There could be no good purpose to that. Illidan played some deep game here. She could not see the logic of it, but she knew it must be there. There were those who claimed that Kil'jaeden sought his head. Perhaps the Demon Lord did. It would not be the first time that evildoers had fallen out with each other. Illidan had switched sides before, though, and he would do so again when it suited him. His evil nature would always win out. He had corrupted everything he ever touched. This time would be no different. A commotion sounded at the edge of the camp. The sentries were challenging someone. Weapons sprang into her troops' hands. Every watcher stood ready. Maiev moved to investigate. Ogres had been spotted in this area, but she doubted it was them. Fighting would already have erupted. She raced closer and saw a group of unfamiliar broken, garbed as hunters. They exchanged words with one of the sentries. They did not look hostile, but it might be a trick. Maiev circled behind them, scouting the area. There were no signs of any enemy infiltration, no broken hid in the shadows. In the distance she heard the growl of a night saber. A wind elemental roared across the evening sky. She stepped out of the shadows. The stranger's leader flinched at her sudden appearance, but he recovered his composure. "Greetings," he said. "What is going on here?" Maiev said. "We could ask you the same thing. You are on Kurenai land, eating Kurenai beasts. It seems to me that we should be asking the questions." Maiev had heard of the Kurenai. They were another faction of Broken, one that owed no allegiance to Akama and his Ashtung tribe. "I saw no brand on these cleft hoof. There were no herders either. These are our hunting grounds. We have not given you guest rights." Maiev considered this. With calculated insolence, she ran her eyes over the newcomers, making it clear she was counting their numbers. She then looked at her own force. The strangers were outnumbered by 20-1. The Broken laughed. "You have an army. The people of Tellar also have an army, if things come to that. Our army is bigger than yours." "But it is not here," said Maiev. An Indra emerged from the gathering gloom. A shriek told her that Sarius was watching from on high, changed into the shape of a bird. "It could be, if I sounded this horn." "I could put an arrow through your eye before it reached your lips," an Indra said. Maiev glared at her. Now was not the time for displays of archery prowess. There was nothing to be gained by picking a fight with these Broken. "We meant to give no offense," Maiev said. "We are strangers passing through this land, and we sought only food and shelter." "You should have come to Tellar. Our people would have provided you with both, and perhaps other things beside." The Broken looked at her camp again. "So many young Draenei, led by so few strangers. There is a story here that Arakron would like to hear." Maiev perked up at that. Perhaps there were allies to be gained, maybe even an entire army. "I am sure we have much to tell each other. If it suits you, I will guide my people to your city and have words with your Arakron. I will leave some of my people to be your guides, as I go ahead to give notice of your coming." Maiev hoped he was not merely heading off to prepare a trap. Tellar was an impressively fortified place. Situated on top of a flat mountain peak that rose above a deep valley, it had no need of walls. The only approaches were over rope bridges or from the air. Unless they used magic or flyers, any foe would find it a difficult place to besiege. The rope bridge swayed under the paws of Maiev's nightsaber. The great cat stalked on, but she could sense its pulse increase as it looked down. Through the slats of the bridge, Maiev could see the ground a long way below. If the Broken wanted to kill her people, all they would have to do was cut the ropes supporting the bridge. Of course, that would mean killing the Broken and Draenei with them. Maiev had known enough leaders willing to sacrifice their own people to achieve their ends that she did not discount the possibility. A crowd lined the edges of the town, trying to get a glimpse of the approaching force. They did not push or shove one another, but they did not have the lassitude she had come to associate with the Broken either. They appeared to be armed, and no doubt would fight if they had to. It was with a sense of relief that Maiev rode off from the bridge. She paused to look over her shoulder and check on her people. She was happy to see that they were still there. Apparently, Arakron planned no treachery. Not yet, anyway. In the middle of the crowd, surrounded by spear-bearers, stood a particularly huge Broken of noble aspect. He was garbed in impressive armor of orange and purple. Four long tendrils descended from his face. His tail swished as he moved. "Akal Hector, and welcome to Tela," he said. "I am Arakron, and I would give you welcome in my house." Maiev said, "I thank you for your hospitality and look forward to speaking with you." They rode along the mosaic-patterned road through the open spaces of Telar. Around them rose the odd, domed buildings so typical of Draenei architecture. Maiev studied it all with the eye of a veteran fighter. She noted the areas where ambushes might be sprung or archers could be placed. Every moment she half expected to be attacked. She had spent so long in the field these past few years that every town felt like a trap, and every citizen a potential enemy. The knowledge saddened her, but she did not relax her vigilance. Maiev glanced across the low table, studying Arakron. The Broken had an open, honest face and a welcoming manner, but she had long ago learned that such things could be deceptive. She was determined not to let down her guard even for a moment, although she gave no sign of her suspicions. The chamber walls curved, thick carpets lay strewn on the floor. A Broken boy pulled aside a beaded curtain and stared in, quite clearly fascinated by the newcomer. Maiev met his gaze. "Gorky," said Arakron, "go to sleep. It is past your bedtime, and I have business to discuss with our new friend." "Yes, father," said Gorky. He made no move to go. "Gorky!" "Yes, father." "Do as you are told, or there will be consequences." "Yes, father." The child's hooves clopped on the stone floor as he skipped away. "He is a good boy, but I indulge him too much," Arakron said. Maiev agreed, but it did not seem politic to say so. "You are his father." "I worry about him sometimes," Arakron said. Maiev saw her opportunity. "As a parent, you have a lot to worry about. We live in dark times, and they are getting darker." Arakron nodded his head. "You speak the truth, but the light will preserve us. It always has, and it always will." "I wish I shared your faith," Maiev said. Before she could say anything further, the Broken interrupted her. "Faith in the light is open to all. All you need do is believe." Maiev saw a quagmire of theological debate yawning before her. "Oh, I am sure that the light watches over us. I am not so sure that it can protect us for very much longer. The betrayer seeks dominion over Outland. Already he has recruited tens of thousands of fell orcs and other monstrous beings. I have seen the Naga working on great magical engines amid the waters of Coilfang Reservoir. I cannot believe that they are up to anything good. I know their leader, Lady Vash. Believe me, she is wicked." Maiev let her sense of urgency show in her voice. It was a speech she had given many times before, and it had succeeded in convincing the Draenei youths who had joined her force. But Arakron was not a youth. He was an experienced leader, albeit with a sentimental weakness for his son. That was her best line of attack.
If you wish your child to have a safe future, you must do something soon before Illidan the Betrayer has overwhelming forces at his disposal.
Arakron raised both hands in her direction, palms out. He gave her a good-humoured smile and said, "You do not need to convince me of the threat that Illidan poses."
"Then I can count upon your help in the coming struggle."
Arakron gave a small shrug.
"It is not quite that simple."
Maiev forced a smile upon her face.
"I find that such is nearly always the case in Outland."
"I've heard of you, Maiev the Warden. I've heard of the way you go from town to town and village to village in search of soldiers for your crusade against the one you call the Betrayer. I have heard that some of the younger and more impetuous Draenei follow you. I am neither young nor impetuous."
Maiev was tempted to add, "nor a fighter," but she clamped her mouth shut and kept her smile in place. She was not back on Azeroth now. She could not simply show up and expect help as she could among her own people. The Broken needed to be convinced to do the right thing. She was used to this reaction from the Draenei elders. They were very conservative people and very cautious. The younger ones were braver. That seemed to be the case wherever she went.
"Believe me, I would like to aid you, Maiev. I think that you are right about how powerful Illidan is. I do not wish to draw the attention of such a being to my small town."
"You are afraid," Maiev said.
"I am not ashamed to admit it, but not in the way that you think.
Fear is fear. If you allow it to rule you, it does not matter what you are afraid of."
"It is very easy for you, is it not? You ride from place to place, spinning your web of words, and young fighters follow you. You do not have to think of the consequences of your actions. You do not have to think about our young people dying."
Maiev stared hard at him.
"Many of my people have given their lives to end Illidan's reign of terror. The night elves you see outside, my officers, are what remain of the mighty force that once followed me in pursuit of the Betrayer."
Arakron steepled his fingers and nodded.
"You can fight your guerrilla war and disappear into the wastes to escape the wrath of your foe. I cannot. My people cannot. We have homes here in Tella. We have children." "I wondered why you introduced him into the conversation so early."
Arakron made a curt gesture with his right hand, then shrugged.
"You are a cynical and wrathful night elf, but I think that you are also a righteous one. That is why I will give you whatever aid I can. I will provide you with supplies and weapons. I will allow you to recruit whoever wishes to follow you among our youths, provided only that you leave the town guards out of your efforts at persuasion. We need them here to protect us from our enemies."
Maiev considered his words.
It was obvious that Arakron did not wish to be drawn into open conflict with Illidan. But it was equally obvious that he was no friend to the Betrayer either. Under the circumstances, that would have to do. She allowed some real warmth to show in her smile. "I appreciate the risk that you are taking, and I am grateful for any help that you can give me.
Let us not misunderstand each other. War is coming. The day approaches when Illidan will turn his attention to Tellar. But that day has not come yet, and I would delay it for as long as possible. What you do on your own."
He reached down and poured some clear water into goblets. He offered one to her and took one himself. As if he guessed what she would think, he put his to his lips before she could drink hers. Maiev sniffed it and took a small taste on the tip of her tongue. She detected no drugs in it, so she took a sip. Arakron smiled.
"Tell me, since you know Illidan so well, what do you think he is doing in Outland?"
"Fleeing the justice that pursues him from Azeroth. That goes without saying.
I meant specifically, what do you think he plans? Why does he build these mighty armies? Do you think he means to invade your homeworld, as the orcs did not so long ago?"
"I think that is the most likely explanation. Illidan has ever sought glory and conquest. He lusts for such things almost as much as he lusts for forbidden knowledge. It is said that he is a formidable sorcerer.
one of the greatest my people ever produced. It galled Maiev to have to utter such words. She despised the sort of magical power Illidan dealt in. That is alarming. You can see the effect magic has had on our world. It shattered Draenor, cost the lives of millions. Arakron was afraid of the power Illidan's magic represented. It was a sensible attitude, albeit a cowardly one. All the more reason Illidan must be opposed. He has made pacts with the Burning Legion before, whenever it has suited him. And yet now he appears to make war on the Legion. It appears that way, yes, but who can tell what is really happening here? It may be merely that there is strife within the Burning Legion. Perhaps the betrayer's attempt to supplant Magtheridan has made him more enemies than he expected. Perhaps his superiors have decided to punish him. In any case, this descent represents an opportunity for all who would see him overthrown. Possibly, yes. You do not agree? I mean no insult, but I suspect you would find an opportunity to strike against your enemy under any circumstances. He paused for a moment. There are those who might aid you in your quest. They, too, have great magical power. Maiev looked at him closely. I do not seek an alliance with those who use blasphemous sorcery. The Naru serve the light. They derive their power from it. The Naru? They came to Shattrath City recently. It seems to me that you might make common cause with them. They are no friends to your Illidan. He is not my Illidan. I meant no offence. My tongue is clumsy sometimes. Tell me more of these Naru. They are beings of light, enormously powerful. They arrived in Shattrath mere months ago, attracted by the rites of worship that the Aldor priesthood performed within a ruined temple there. The Naru protect the city from demons. They hold the Legion at bay, you say? Indeed, they have made Shattrath a sanctuary for those who oppose the demons. They are recruiting those who would fight against the servants of Kil'jaeden. You might do well there. You could become a general in their armies without any doubt. It certainly sounded promising. Maiev searched for a hidden purpose behind his words. Was he merely trying to get rid of her by directing her toward this Shattrath? Arakron's face held its usual expression of malevolence. He was hard to read. I do not seek a position of power, Maiev said. I seek only to see that the betrayer gets his well-deserved punishment. Of course, I've once again misread the situation. Nonetheless, I would advise you to seek out the Naru. Of all the forces opposing the Burning Legion in Outland, they are immeasurably the strongest. Perhaps the Broken was right. She had been wasting her time wandering these wastelands and recruiting tiny handfuls of fighters. There was nothing to be lost from contacting these new rulers of Shattrath, and perhaps much to be gained. Tell me of Shattrath. It was once a beautiful place, and may well become so again. That was not the sort of knowledge she had been seeking, but she restrained her impatience. How may I find it, and whom should I speak to there? Arakron smiled as if he had achieved his goal. It is a long way northeast of here. You must seek the Terrace of Light and speak with Adal. If you seek a place to stay, I can recommend an inn. A cousin of mine owns it. He will guide you right if you mention my name. They spoke of matters concerning the city long into the night. Maiev watched the rising sun. This was a good hour to depart. It was going to be another clear, warm day. Her forces had enjoyed their weeks of rest within Tel'ar. She had recruited another 50 young fighters from among the Broken and the Draenei. They were at the edge of her force, mounted on their elek. The massive quadrupeds dwarfed the riding cats of her own people and exhibited only the slightest nervousness at the presence of the great carnivores. A crowd as large as the one that greeted them on arrival had gathered to see them off. Many of its members seemed to be there to say goodbye to her new recruits. A few appeared to be attempting to discourage them from leaving. Maiev saw no point in trying to stop that. She did not want anyone with her who could be impelled to desert by the tears of family. Her troops needed to be made of sterner stuff.
Arakron himself appeared, mounted on the howdah of a huge bejeweled elec. He bowed to her and said, "Remember, seek out the Uldor. They are the strongest faction in Satrath besides the Naru, and they are the ones most likely to aid you." "I will do that," Maiv said. Arakron nodded and said, "And if I were you, I would have nothing further to do with the Ashtung and their leader. They are of little account." Maiv doubted that. She had met Akama on many occasions since their initial contact, and she knew his power. She still did not trust the Broken, but he had not lied to her yet, as far as she could tell. Anindra rode up beside her. Her gaze made it clear she was awaiting the order to depart. Maiv nodded. Anindra sounded her horn, the night sabers roared, the elec trumpeted. The long line of soldiers departed Telar, leaving the cheering, waving, crying throng behind them. Maiv wondered what she would really find in Satrath. Chapter 8. 4 months before the fall. Vandel stood in the great courtyard in the ruins of Kerebor, along with all the others. Hundreds of supplicants lined the terraces. They had been waiting for weeks for Illidan to return. No one knew where he was. Not even his closest followers understood the betrayer's comings and goings. Vandel felt a growing sense of impatience. There had been long days of training under the guidance of tattooed fighters of the same ilk as Elarisiel and Needle. Golden-haired Varadis, arrogant and confident as a god, had lectured them on the nature of demons. Of him it was whispered he had infiltrated the Shadow Council and stolen its book of fell names. Soft-spoken Alandian had laid out the tactics of infiltration. She claimed to have been trained by Illidan himself. Netherel, the oldest night elf among them, was the one who taught them about weapons. Despite being bowed with age, when he picked up a blade, he moved with the agility of youth. They had practiced with weapons, sparred with their fellow recruits, and gotten to know one another a little better. But Vandel had made no progress toward his goal. It sometimes seemed to him that he would have achieved far more in the way of vengeance by simply walking out the gate and attacking any one of the tens of thousands of the Burning Legion's servants that swarmed through Outland. Of course, that would have led to a swift death, and he would have achieved nothing of any account. The Legion had limitless numbers of such soldiers. Ravael stood beside him. They had stuck together since the night of Vandel's arrival. Compared with some of those present, Ravael seemed normal. Over the past few weeks, Vandel had encountered most of the aspirants. All of them had stories to tell, and all of those were tales of horror. The majority of the recruits were blood elves sent by Prince Kael'thas to learn how to fight demons. There were far fewer Kaldari. Among the night elves was Celadon, who had come all the way from Eversong Woods. His body had been burned by a dozen fist blows from an infernal. The whole right side of his face had been caved in around the jawline. A night elf so burned should not have been able to move without pain, but somehow he did, as lithe as when he had been a village guard. Beautiful Isteth had lost all three of her children when the Burning Legion struck. She carried the burned corpse of her baby in a pouch against her chest. Vandel had pieced together her story from her ravings. There were nights when she could not stop screaming about the burning. One of the Blood Elves had tried to silence her forcibly. She had killed him with one blow of her knife. Mavalith smiled and smiled and smiled. He found everything funny. It was disconcerting when he laughed at nothing or at the distress of some companion. There was something in his eyes that suggested he took pleasure from the pain of others. There was Syana. She seemed almost normal except for her keenness to come to grips with the Legion. She never spoke of what the demons had done to her, but she gave the impression that she, too, thirsted for vengeance with all her being. Ravael said not to trust the Blood Elves. They had been twisted by their addiction to arcane magic. Vandel did not care. He did not pay any attention to the prejudices his own people had acquired since the Burning Legion's invasion.
He had been too caught up in his own hate-driven quest. He knew one thing, though. All the elves here had reasons to hate the Burning Legion that went far beyond those of most who had suffered because of the demons. They were like him, and he felt an odd sense of companionship with them all. It was clear that he and his comrades were not the first to walk this path. There were others who kept mostly to themselves or were sometimes seen practicing. They were a breed apart, marked by their tattoos and their scars, and strange mutations. Not all of them seemed blind, but all of them had altered eyes. It marked them as being part of a separate elite group. The servants and soldiers around the Black Temple treated them with fear and exaggerated respect. The aspirants looked upon them with a mixture of awe and envy. They had something all of the supplicants wanted: poise and power and confidence. Mystery cloaked them. It hinted that they possessed other unseen powers. Rumor had it that these tattooed soldiers had already slain demons. There were times when Vandel sensed the presence of the Burning Legion. He told himself it was because the Black Temple housed Illidan's bound servants, but sometimes he had the skin-crawling feeling of being watched by demons, and he would turn to see Needle or Elarisiel looking at him. The tattooed fighters with their strange vision made him deeply uneasy. It had been a long, long time since anything had caused him such disquiet. There were other tales among the aspirants that Illidan himself had become part demon, that their tutors emulated him in all things, and that in order to slay demons, you had to become like them. The Black Temple itself was a profoundly disturbing place. It had been transformed from a shrine into something else by the presence of Magtheridan. Illidan's people, the so-called Illidari, had done nothing to change the atmosphere. For one who called himself a demon hunter, Illidan counted an enormous number of demons among his followers. Even amid the ruins of Kerebor, gigantic, bat-winged doom guards stalked, polluting the stones with their hooves. Vandel had heard the bellowing of monsters echo from the Black Temple. Stories of succubi and satyrs abounded among the aspirants. Vandel was so deep in reverie that he did not notice the first time Raviel shook his shoulder. He turned to look when he became aware of the shaking, and his gaze followed his companion's pointing finger. Illidan stooped like a hawk, dropping from the darkening sky into the courtyard as if they were his prey. Vandel stood his ground as the betrayer landed in front of him, arresting his descent with a flap of his huge leathery wings. His sightless eyes seemed focused on the distance, but his taloned fingers pointed straight at the crowd. A mocking smile twisted the betrayer's lips. "And now we begin." "Begin what?" Vandel wondered. So far, it had all been weapons training and listening to his disturbed companions. Did this mean Illidan was finally ready to share his dark knowledge? Were they finally going to learn how to kill demons rather than simply spar with one another and listen to endless lectures from Viridis and his ilk? Illidan's cold smile vanished. "Take a look around you. There are more than 500 of you here. By the time this is over, there will be less than 100. He paused to let that sink in, then he laughed. "You all swore you were willing to give your lives to strike at the Burning Legion. You now have a chance to prove that. Who will be the first?" At first there was no response. Everyone waited to see what the others would do. Now that the moment had come, no one wanted to break ranks and see what waited for them. Suspense and fear hung over the supplicants and paralyzed them. Vandel took a deep breath and stepped forward. "I will have my vengeance or I will die. Whatever is needed, I will do." Illidan nodded. Vandel thought that the betrayer had expected this of him, or perhaps he was just imagining things. "Very well," he said. "Step into the summoning circle." Illidan gestured. Lines of fire etched a complex geometric pattern on the stone. Vandel passed into a vast pentacle surrounded by glowing runes. They pulsed with a meaning that he felt he could grasp if only he was given another heartbeat to contemplate them. Yet somehow the meaning never came. As he watched, the symbols blurred hypnotically. His skin tingled, his mouth felt dry. Motes of greenish yellow